An incident happened where one old man from Bani Israel was killed. This man was wealthy. They couldn't find out who killed him. They didn't know. They tried, they searched. Nobody admitted to the crime, and they looked around. They didn't know who killed him. So they went to Musa and they said, "Oh Musa, we want you to solve this crime. Somebody is killed. We don't know who killed him. Solve it for us." So Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a solution to this problem. Musa went to Bani Israel and said, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Musa went to his people and said, Allah is commanding you to sacrifice a cow. They said, "What, are you making fun of us? Are you joking with us? We're asking you to solve a crime of somebody who was killed and you're telling us to kill a cow. What are you talking about?" They said, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. They said, "Do you make fun of us?" What did Musa say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ. Allah is commanding you. And Bani Israel said that you're making fun of us. Are you joking? Look at the rudeness of Bani Israel. What do you mean? Musa is joking with the name of Allah. Musa will tell you, go and sacrifice a cow. Allah is telling you to sacrifice a cow, and you go and tell him you're joking. Are you making fun of us? This is not appropriate for a righteous man to do, let alone a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a prophet, to use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in jokes. But this is, it shows you the manners and the adab of Bani Israel. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I seek refuge in Allah from being an ignorant or a foolish. I'm not making fun of you. This is serious. Jid. Allah told them, sacrifice a cow. Now, if you would follow that order, what does it mean? You go and take any cow. But Bani Israel asked too many questions. So they went to Musa and said, قَالُ دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. They said, "Call upon your Lord for us, that he may make plain to us what it is." So they asked the question, they're going to get an answer.
قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ فَافْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ.
Verily, it is a cow, neither too old nor too young, but it is between the two conditions, so do what you are commanded. So now their pool of choice is narrower. It has to be middle-aged cow. It can't be old, it can't be young. So they went, and they looked at the cows, and then they came back to Musa and said, قَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. Oh Musa, can you ask Allah to tell us what color it is? قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين. It is a yellow cow, bright in its color, pleasing the beholders. Now it has to be yellow, and yellow is rare, and it has to be pleasing. When you see it, you're pleased. So now they're even forced to go into a smaller choice. Now the choice is becoming narrower and narrower. The pool of choosing is smaller. They went and looked around at the cows, and then they came back. قَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. They said, call upon your Lord for us to make plain to us what it is. To make plain to us what it is. And then they said, verily to us, all cows are alike. We went and we saw all the cows, they look the same. إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. All these cows, they look the same to us. If they look the same, go and take one of them and sacrifice it. Why do you have to ask all of these questions? They felt that they are asking too many questions. They knew that. So they said, وَإِنَّ إِنْشَاءَ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. They said, and inshallah, we'll find the right one.
قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُولٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَسْقِي الْحَرْثَ مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا.
He, Musa, said, it is a cow neither trained to till the soil nor water the fields, sound, having no other color except bright yellow. So this cow now does not till the soil, nor water the fields. It is sound, it has no problems with it. So these are additional descriptions which are narrowing their choice. They went around and they found only one cow that fulfills these conditions. Only one. In all of Bani Israel, only one cow. And it is said that this cow was owned by an orphan. Somehow the orphan knew that Bani Israel want this cow badly. So he made business out of it. He knew that there's no cow that has these qualities except this one. And not only triple the price, it's not tripling the price. He said, if you want this cow, you have to pay me its weight in gold. You have to pay me its weight in gold. He knows how to make money out of a cow. And Bani Israel were forced to pay its weight in gold because that was the only cow that fulfills the conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ. When they saw this cow, they said, now you have brought us with the truth. They told Musa, now you have brought us with the truth, as if he was joking or lying to them before. It shows you how rude they were with their Nabi. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. So they slaughtered it, though they were near not to do it. They barely did it. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them to slaughter a cow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to perform an ayah, a miracle in front of their eyes. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And remember when you killed a man and fell into dispute among yourselves as to the crime, but Allah brought forth that which you were hiding. فَقُلْنَا ضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. And remember, so we said, strike him, the dead man, with a piece of the cow. Take a piece of that cow, which is dead, and strike the dead man with it, you're going to have life. So the dead man who was killed, when they touched him with the dead flesh of the cow, the man stood up alive and he started to speak and he said, my nephew is the one who killed me. Because he killed him for the inheritance. My nephew is the one who killed me, and then he died again. It was a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says,
كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ.
Thus Allah brings the dead to life and shows you His ayat, His signs, so that you may understand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Then after that your hearts were hardened. And they are as hard as rocks or even harder. Subhanallah, a heart can be harder than rocks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are some rocks. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And indeed there are stones out of which rivers gush forth. And there are stones where water flows from them. And there are stones that fall down for fear of Allah. And your hearts are even worse than stones. There are stones that can produce water. There are stones where rivers can come out. There are stones that would fall down from the khashya of Allah, and your hearts are stone, they are producing nothing, they have no khashya and no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This lesson of Al-Baqarah, a few comments on it. It is not appropriate to come to the Anbiya of Allah and ask them questions, and ask them too many questions that don't have a good purpose behind them, or that are not beneficial. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people in Sahih Muslim, this hadith is narrated by Muslim, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجَّ فَحُجُّ. Rasulullah said, oh people, Allah has made it mandatory on you to make hajj, so make hajj. One of the men present, it's a clear order from Rasulullah, make hajj, very clear, doesn't need any explanation. One man stood up and said, every year, أَكُلَّ عَام, should you make hajj every year? Rasulullah did not answer. The man stood again and said, أَكُلَّ عَام, should we make hajj every year? Rasulullah did not answer. He stood up a third time and said, shall we make hajj? He's insisting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ وَلَمَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. If I said yes, it would have become mandatory on you and you would not be able to do it. Why are you asking the question? If I said yes, then it would become mandatory on you to make hajj every year and you will not be able to do it. Why are you bringing difficulty on yourselves? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ قَالْ ذَرُونِي مَا تَرَكْتُكُمْ فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِكَثْرَةِ سُؤَالِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ فَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَدَعُوا. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, leave me alone with what I have left you with. What has destroyed the people before you is because of their going back and forth to their anbiya and asking them questions. If I tell you to do something, do the best you can. And if I prevent you from doing something, don't do it. Don't ask too many questions. If I tell you to do something, do as much as you can. Because the orders of Islam are many, and many of them are recommended. We can't do them all. So Rasulullah ﷺ knew that, and he said, فَأْتُوا مِنَ مَا سَطَعْتُمْ. Do as much as you can. But in the things that are haram, you don't do them, period. وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُهُ. If I tell you not to do something, then don't do it. Don't ask too many questions. And this is to the Anbiya. Now, this needs to be understood in the right way. It does not mean that you worship Allah on ignorance. If you don't know something, then you need to ask, because we have a situation which is mentioned in Hadith Abi Dawood. عن جابر قال خرجنا في سفر فأصاب رجلا منا حجر فشجه في رأسه ثم احتلم. Jabir says, we were traveling and there was a man with us who got injured with a stone. A stone came in his head, a rock came and knocked him in his head, and it injured him. And then he had a wet dream at night. So when he woke up, he was in Janabah, when he woke up in the morning, he said, فَقَالَ هَلْ تَجِدُونَ لِي رُخْصَةً فِي التَّيَمُّمُ. Do you find any excuse for me to make tayammum? Is it allowed for me to make tayammum? فَقَالُوا مَا نَجِدُ لَكَ رُخْصَةً. We don't find any excuse for you. You have to make ghusl. He said, can I make tayammum? They said, no, I have to make ghusl. They gave him a fatwa. وَأَنْتَ تَقْدِرُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And you are able to touch water. فَاغْتَسَلَ فَمَاتْ. He took a shower and he died. They told him, we don't find an excuse for you. You have to bathe. You're not able to make tayammum. So the news was carried to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قتلوه قتلهم الله. ألا سألوا إذا لم يعلموا فإنما شفاء العي السؤال إنما كان يكفيه أن يتيمم ويعصب على جرحه خرقة ثم يمسح عليها ويغسل سائر جسده. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, they killed him, may Allah kill them. They killed him. Why didn't they ask if they do not know? Because the cure of ignorance is asking. How come they didn't ask? They did not know. Why did they give him a fatwa and they don't know? They should ask. شِفَاءُ الْعَيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure of ignorance is asking. It is enough for him to make tayammum and tie a cloth on his head and then wash the rest of his body. But the water, when it hit the injury, it killed him. So Rasulullah ﷺ is saying here that you need to ask. And also we learned something important from this hadith. Don't give fatwa if you don't know. Wallahi, I have brothers coming and telling me about things that they are told. Unbelievable. People are giving fatwa right and left. May Allah forgive us all. We all make mistakes. All of us, we make mistakes. But sometimes there are some of us, and whenever a question is presented, they have an answer. They have an answer for everything. They are a know-it-all. Everything they can answer. You could answer a question and you could cause the death of somebody like this. The Sharia is not a game that you play with. When you don't know, say Allahu A'lam. Somebody traveled from Al-Maghrib or from Andalus, from the extreme west, to Al-Imam Malik in Medina. He had 40 questions. He asked Al-Imam Malik these 40 questions. Al-Imam Malik answered 34 of them with La A'lam. I don't know. 40 questions. Out of the 40, 34 he said, I do not know. Allah knows best. The man said, I came all the way from Morocco to hear that you don't know. Al-Imam Malik said, I don't know. This man traveled all the way. And now sometimes we volunteer. We jump into a conversation and we volunteer an answer. لا أعلم نصف العلم. Some of the ulama said, I don't know is half of knowledge. A sign of knowledge is when you say, I don't know. That shows that this person has some knowledge. They came to Umar bin Khattab once, and we learned two things from this hadith of this incident with Umar bin Khattab. Somebody asked Umar bin Khattab a question when Umar was a khalifa. Umar bin Khattab said, did this thing happen? هل وقعت? The man said, no. He said, okay, Go back home. When it happens, then come back and ask me, and I will gather the people of Badr to give you an answer. We learn from this hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab that we should not try to know about things that we don't need to know about. If the incident did not happen, why hypothesize? I mean, there are some outrageous things, like this question that was presented to the fuqaha. This is in the old time. This question was presented to the fuqaha. They said, what if somebody is carrying wind in a bag? You know wind that comes out from the body? They said somebody gathered that wind in a bag, and then he put it on his back. And then he flew in the air. They did not have airplanes in the time. Look. And then he flew in the air. Can he pray with that wind on his back? Look at the... this is somebody who has nothing to do and is laying down on his bed thinking about these hypothetical situations. So Umar ibn Khattab said, I'm not going to answer the question. If it did not happen, I'm not going to answer it. Go back home. When it happens, then come back. And what did Umar say? He said, I'm not going to answer it. جَمَعْتُ لَكَ أَهْلِ بَدْرِ. I'm going to bring the people of Badr who are still alive and make a council. And then we're going to give you a fatwa. Umar ibn Khattab cannot give a fatwa alone. He has to bring the people of Badr to give a fatwa. Allahu Akbar. Now, in the time of the Anbiya, they were not supposed to ask some questions because wahi was still coming down. Now, you need to ask questions if you don't know. If you don't know something, ask questions. But ask questions about al-ilm alladhi yanfa. Ask questions about knowledge that will benefit you. Don't ask about ilm la yanfa. Don't ask about knowledge that will not benefit you. And Rasulullah used to say in the hadith, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. I ask you to give me knowledge that will benefit me, and I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit. SubhanAllah, if you look at the method of Qur'an, the methodology of Qur'an, you find that Qur'an does not mention dates, did not mention places. I mean, there is no historical record in Qur'an. You don't find any dates mentioned whatsoever. Why? Because the dates of when things happen don't have anything to do with the hidayah. This book, Qur'an, is a book of guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the huda in it. But when you compare it to the Bible, you find that everything in the Bible has dates and numbers and places, and it has the family, the name of the family members of every person that is mentioned in there, and who they got married to, and their life story. If you look in Quran, you find that Quran has not even mentioned the stories of the birth of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It did not give the dates of their birth. It did not even mention the stories of the births of the Anbiya, with the exception of Isa. Why? Because of the importance of the birth of Isa and guidance. Why? Because Isa was worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of his miraculous birth. They said that he is the Son of God. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the birth of Isa in Quran. But Allah did not talk about the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not talk about the birth of Salih or Hud or Ibrahim alayhi salam or Nuh. Allah did not talk about their births. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned the bishara, the glad tidings of the birth of Ismail and Ishaq, because of the miracle in it, because it was to an old man, Ibrahim, and an old woman, Sarah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talked about the birth of Sayyidina Yahya, because of the miracle in it too. Zakariya was old in age and his wife was old in age. And Allah talked about the creation of Adam, which is his birth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk about the birth of anyone else. Musa, Allah talked about the birth of Musa because of the miracle, the ayah, in his birth. At least the early parts of his life, there's a miracle in it. So we need to concentrate on the knowledge that will benefit. The knowledge that will benefit. And we should look at the fruits of knowledge. They came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and they said, I think they were talking about Bishr al-Hafi, or one of the ulama. They came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and said, he's not a scholar. He's not a scholar. Why? Because he doesn't know a lot of fiqh and he doesn't know a lot of hadith. They said, he's not a scholar. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, he already has the fruit of knowledge. And that is khashyat Allah Azza wa Jal, the fear of Allah. You're saying he doesn't have knowledge? He already has the fruit of knowledge. And what is the fruit of knowledge? The fear of Allah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The ones who fear Allah are the scholars. Now this man fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he has the fruit of knowledge. So we should seek the fruit of knowledge. And we should study the knowledge that benefits, the knowledge of huda, guidance. And get away from the details and the minor issues and the disputable issues that add nothing or subtract. I mean, subhanAllah, sometimes we have big disputes about things that are not going to put you in Jannah or put you in hellfire, if you do them or you don't. Some very, very minor issues when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that our unity is a priority. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.